today on Real Radio.
Why are we believers? Peter says, we have not followed cunningly devised fables. We haven't swallowed some silly, stupid story. Oh no, we have seen the word of God, the prophetic word of God, become more sure to us.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called When God Died, begins in the book of Matthew with verse 21. Palm Sunday, a celebrated event in history, shows us how God, through his Son Jesus Christ, comes to Jerusalem to redeem us all by his death on the cross. Jesus was born in Bethlehem to die in Jerusalem. Now, Jesus had avoided Jerusalem throughout his adult ministry, so from Matthew's account of the Bible, when he enters Jerusalem, there was a fever-pitched anticipation. The people crowded to see him. They laid down palm branches with shouts of praise. But he didn't come to overthrow the Romans. Instead, he rode in on a lowly donkey to bring a heavenly justice and judgment. Today, Pastor Jack tells us that from the donkey to the Mount of Olives, the shouts of Hosanna were, according to the Bible, prophecy. Jesus came to give us hope and salvation. The disciple Peter shared how they had seen the prophetic word of God become more sure to them as they continued to follow Christ. And now, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
Well, the first thing we see right here about his message being confirmed is this. God is confirming his message in the person of Jesus Christ himself. This Palm Sunday in history was the arrival of Israel's true king, according to the campaign motto. Have you seen the campaign mottos of these people running for office right now? I forget them. I don't really pay much attention to them, but listen, Jesus' banner was this. He didn't have to campaign. He was not running for office. There were no parades. He was coming solely based upon the fact that it is Jesus Christ, and the very fact that the Bible was being fulfilled was confirmation enough. I represent not only God, but the kingdom of God. Jesus, the word of God, the very will of God was being revealed. And the scriptures were clear. They were shouting Hosannas. Hosanna in the highest, Hebrew. Save now, save us now. It was reserved, you know. The Jews knew this. All Jews knew this. They know it today. It's reserved for the Messiah only. Did you know that? So if you're a skeptic in the house, remember, you have your sandals on. You're back 2,000 years ago. You know what you're hearing? You're hearing Israel shout, Hosanna! You would have heard it with your own ears. That means the people, regarding their nation, regarding this prophet from Nazareth, they were in agreement. This is the Messiah. He's the one. You may or may not have agreed. The point was, those of the nation understood that as the general populace. In fact, I'll be more direct. The religious leaders understood it, and they were angry about it. They were jealous about it. They were plotting on how to kill him. They were shouting the 118th Psalm, Psalm 118, reserved for the Messiah. What an amazing, electrifying moment that must have been. From the donkey to the descent of the Mount of Olives, the shouts were all in accordance with Bible prophecy, ladies and gentlemen. I join with Peter this morning. Why are we believers? Peter says, we have not followed cunningly devised fables. We haven't swallowed some silly, stupid story. Oh no, we have seen the word of God, the prophetic word of God, become more sure to us. Is your faith rooted and grounded in God's inerrant word? I hope so. By the way, you want me to get you all excited? You read Daniel chapter 9 and then read Daniel chapter 12. Guess what? The first coming to the nation of Israel, the day was supposed to be known by the Jew. When Christ returns to the Temple Mount the second time, in the second coming, not the rapture, the second coming, Daniel says the Jews will know the day that's going to happen. Daniel 9, Daniel 12. These are physical comings of Christ. The rapture is not a return. The rapture is the appearance of Christ for the church, not for Jerusalem. Remember that, church. Don't get confused. Very important. Secondly, God is confirming his message through events. God is confirming his message through events. As believers, Matthew, by the way, singles out many Old Testament prophecies, to say the least, headed into this week in history. You're going to read in the Gospel of Matthew over and over again, because you know Matthew Levi, he's Jewish, and it's wonderful because the Holy Spirit's the author of the Bible as he uses human authorship. He uses the human hand, but it's the Holy Spirit that authors the Bible. What's amazing is that's why in the original languages there's no errors in the Bible. It's because it's Holy Spirit inspired. Because you know, if you involve mankind, there's going to be errors in something. We make mistakes. That's one of the reasons why the Bible is so absolutely remarkable, is that there's no errors in the Bible. That's because God was controlling the hand of the writer. And throughout the book of Matthew, who Matthew's ministry is to reach the Jew, Matthew says this over and over again: all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of by the prophet. He's pointing to the Jew. Look at the prophecies. Look at the Old Testament. Look, look. And in Matthew 21, verse 4, we read it a moment ago, but let's do it by review. Matthew 21, 4, all this was done that it might be fulfilled by the prophet saying, tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly, humble, sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. What? Matthew, what are you talking about? Matthew would say, I'm talking about Zechariah. Zechariah 9:9. Rejoice greatly, Zechariah 9:9 says. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughters of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. This is how you'll identify him. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. In other words, a donkey, a baby donkey that's never been ridden before. And it's amazing. The donkey doesn't kick him off. You ever try to go, look, go to some of these ranches around here and stuff, and go sit on a donkey, see what happens to you that's never been sat on. Go sit on a horse that's never been sat on. Just let me get my camera first. Jesus sits on a donkey that's never been ridden. Why? Because he made the donkey. And he knew exactly where to sit on a donkey. And I'm sure that donkey probably saw him coming up, and that donkey's probably thinking, have we met before? No one else is going to sit on me, but I think I'm okay with you sitting on me. I don't know why I feel this way, but it's an amazing thing to know that Jesus, being the Word of God made flesh among us, is fulfilling these events right in front of people's eyes, and he knew it. The question was, did they know it? The question is, do you know it? You know what's fun? Erdősheim, in his account of the history of the Jews, he writes that King David, in Jewish antiquity, King David was the only king to have ever ridden on a donkey in presentation. David. I didn't know this before. I found this out through these writings of antiquity. David rode on a donkey as king. Did you know that he was the first and the last king of Israel to ride on a donkey? I didn't know that until Jesus came. Did you know Solomon, his son, what did he ride on? You think you could get Solomon on a donkey? Have you read about Solomon's life? He's not sitting on a donkey. Solomon was a horse guy. Isn't it interesting that there's no king riding on the back of a donkey since David, except Jesus now in this story. Jesus is riding on the donkey. And there hasn't been a king of Israel since Jesus riding on a donkey. Jesus. And the Bible says he rides on a donkey. A donkey, this is awesome. You picture a conquering king and a ruling potentate on a horse, a great steed, you know? Like Napoleon did and all the others. Isn't it amazing that Jesus rides on a donkey? It was a symbol, it was an announcement of peace. But also this, it was an animal that did not distract from the calling of the individual sitting upon it. David was king by God's decree. Jesus was king by God's decree. He didn't need a horse. He didn't even need a donkey. It was all about Jesus. And Jesus in the flesh, after human DNA, Jesus is known as the son of David. What a remarkable Jesus. The message being confirmed through events. Matthew 21:6. Matthew 21:6 says, "So the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. And they brought the donkey and the colt and laid their clothes on them, and he set them in the, on him, them. And a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down palm branches," which is a symbol of victory, political victory, technically, military political victory, "from the trees and spread them on the road. Then the multitudes who went before them and those who followed cried out, 'Save now, save now, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest.'" And that is it. Psalm 118, ladies and gentlemen, reserved for the Messiah. Psalm 118, verse 25, the Messianic Psalm. "Save now, Hosanna, I pray. O Lord, I pray. Send now prosperity. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." You say that in Israel, and you're going to get in a whole heap of trouble unless you're the Lord. Listen to John, his eyewitness account, which supports and confirms Matthew's telling of the event. John chapter 12, verse 12, John says this, that on the next day, a great multitude that had come to the feast, when they had heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. You see the, what? Jesus is, we've heard, he's coming? It was a buzz. Verse 13, took palm branches, branches of the palm trees, and went out to meet him and cried out, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord," notice, "the King of Israel." And then we also see in this closing point, God is confirming his message by the believers. He did it then, he's doing it now. Regarding this Palm Sunday in history, it separated the believer from the unbeliever. In Matthew 19:38, we read it a moment ago, that regarding the whole multitude, they said, "Blessed is he, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord." In verse 39, we saw where the Pharisees called out and says, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." Jesus responds in verse 40, as again we read a moment ago, that no way, they can't keep silent. The indictment against us as believers, if we decide to be silent as Christians, is I'll have rocks cry out if you be quiet. The point is, don't be quiet. The believer, we are to be confirming the message of God as believers. That's why I want you to be bold this Sunday. Church, listen, I don't want to be a doomsday kind of person, and I'm not. We all go to heaven when this is over. I'm just telling you, I kind of feel like it's over. See, what do you mean? I don't know what I mean. But I just got a sense. We're running out of time. You say, well, that's because you're old. That may be true, but I know young people who are sensing the same thing. They sense a sense of urgency. Something's up. We got to move. We got to go. We got to get ready. For what? I don't know. I don't need to know. I just need to be ready. God said to be ready. He didn't say you need to know everything. If we knew everything, we'd be so nervous and freaked out. We wouldn't get anything done. And listen, the world, who knows? Man, you see what's going on with these election protests? I don't know about you, but that's kind of what I'm talking about. There's an undercurrent in our culture. It is not good, ladies and gentlemen. People are looking to go violent. I was meeting with a national security advisor yesterday. I wound up bumping into this person. And he enlightened me, and I wish he hadn't, about just under the surface, there's a brewing violence in our culture today. And people will use the slightest thing as an excuse to vent. What's going to happen? I don't know. God knows. But I'm supposed to be ready. Well, how do we get ready? Here's how we get ready. We believe the message that God has given us. Might I remind you, we're not going to live forever? Everything Jesus did is about heaven. It's about us getting there. In John chapter 12, verse 19, the Pharisees therefore said among themselves when they saw this happening, "You see that you are accomplishing nothing." They're looking and pointing fingers at each other. "Look, the whole world has gone after him." I like that. They're all bent out of shape. They're looking at each other, pointing at each other with these self-righteous condemnations, and then they make this utterance. You see that you're accomplishing nothing. Oh, they had all their plans about how to stop Jesus. Hey, do people have plans today on how to stop Jesus? Yeah. And look, they say, what a great admission. The whole world's gone after him. Amen. Amen. You bet. Praise the Lord. 1 John chapter 1, 1 John 1. Are you guys okay? Are you with me? Am I yelling? I'm excited. It's Palm Sunday, for crying out loud. 1 John chapter 1. That which, listen to sweet John. That which was from the beginning. He's the only apostle, by the way, to die of natural causes. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled. He's talking about Jesus. According to the word of life, the life was manifested. Notice the definite article. Don't miss a word. The life was manifested, and we've seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifest to us, that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. That's the invitation. We're with Jesus. Come with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Third and final argument, we end with this. When God died, as we embark upon Passion Week, the message will change the world. The message of Christ will change the world. How so? First of all, God is elevating the gospel to the world. He did it then in Jesus. By Jesus Christ coming 2,000 years ago on Palm Sunday, the gospel was being introduced to the world. Up until then, it had been preached in villages. Up until then, it had been relegated to the disciples. Jesus is now arriving, and with him, the gospel is elevated. Did not the Bible say, didn't Jesus say, if I be lifted up on the cross, I shall draw all men to myself? Isn't that a tremendous statement? It means everyone will have to consider me on the cross. Romans chapter 1 says that comes supernaturally. The gospel is being elevated by God. Listen to this. Matthew 23, beginning at verse 37, Palm Sunday. Jesus cries from the back of the donkey as he descends on the Mount of Olives, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. Here's the indictment, but you were not willing. Behold, your house is left to you desolate, the temple. For I say to you, you shall see me no more till you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." That's the second coming. They're going to say it again. Then Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came up to him to show him the buildings of the temple. They're trying to get a comforting word from Jesus because they just heard from him. Your house is going to be left you desolate. The Jew could never imagine the temple being destroyed. It was the epicenter of God. Don't ever put God's promises on a physical object. It will perish. His promises are not physical. And Jesus, verse 2, said to them, chapter 24, verse 2, Jesus said to them, "Do you not see all these things? Assuredly, I say to you, not one stone shall be left here upon another that shall not be thrown down." And as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, they asked him three questions. Number one, tell us, when will these things be? Two, what will be the sign of your coming? Three, and of the end of the world. And Jesus answered and said to them, "Take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will deceive many. You'll hear of wars and rumors of wars, and see that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end's not yet." How are we going to know? Okay, well, watch for this. Verse 7, nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines, pestilence, and earthquakes in various places. All these things are the beginning of sorrows. It means they're going to increase. They're going to get bigger and worse. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended and will betray one another and hate one another. Verse 11, then many false prophets will arise and deceive many, and because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all of the world as a witness to all nations, and then the end will come. God is bringing about his plan for the world, church. When Jesus wept over Jerusalem, he asked, and you heard, it's all because you didn't know the day of your visitation. It wasn't the cross that concerned Jesus. It wasn't the beatings that he was about to receive this week in history. What concerned Jesus? What made him weep? Oh, by the way, what made him weep was the rejection of his coming. The word weep here in the Gospel of Luke, verse 41, is the word, it's a tragic word. Listen, this is what the word means. It means to have internal weep. It means to weep on the inside. You know, you go through an emotional thing before you cry. Did you know that? That's what it means. It started there. The word means to start with, I want to cry. Two, the word means to tearing up. The word means to, I want to cry, then I tear up, to I begin to cry. I begin to physically, there's tears coming down my cheek. Jesus is crying. They see tears coming down his cheeks while shouting of Hosanna is going on. And then the word means, the same word means to heave the chest. We use the word sob. Oh, he was just sobbing. Jesus was sobbing to the point his chest was heaving on the back of a donkey. Everybody's cheering. What's happening? Have you ever seen those awkward moments? Yay, woo! And then someone starts crying. What's the matter? People begin to look at him. What's the matter? And Jesus begins to speak through his sobbing. What did it sound like? It'd be sacrilegious for me to try. But have you ever seen a little child or somebody who's severely wounded trying to talk to you about, tell us what happened, tell us. You ever seen that happen? Somehow Jesus got out the words, you did not recognize the day of your visitation, you weren't willing. What were people thinking? What? Jesus, what? Look around you. Everyone's cheering. He was God. He could see the end of the week. Many of the crowd would turn on him by the end of the week because he didn't turn out to be their political deliverer. That's all they cared about. It's like Christians today care about. I'm just going to vote for the person who'll make me the more money. They were looking for a political deliverer. We don't care. We don't care about our sins. We just want somebody to get Rome off our back. Think of it. He came to remove our sins first. Read the book. He's coming back soon as king. His politic is about ready to begin. In the meantime, it's all about sin. And he's about to intervene in the world.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called When God Died. Thanks for listening. Jesus did everything to point us toward heaven, and he showed us that the only way to get there was through him. We'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, as you know, the content for Real Radio was preached from the pulpit by Pastor Jack. Quite frankly, because of time restraints, we simply can't get everything into the radio program that we would love for you to hear. So here's what you can do. Go to our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org, and you can pick up the entire week of Easter messages, the entire Easter messages, as taught from the pulpit by Pastor Jack with no interruptions, no edits, no commercial interruptions at all. You can go listen to the entire thing. You won't miss a bit of the Easter message. Why don't you do that? reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Get the messages on MP3 CD and listen to them. Make them a part of your life and share them with folks that you love. And I want to remind you real quick about our book of the month, Cries from the Cross, A Journey into the Heart of Jesus. It's by Erwin Lutzer. Now, Pastor Jack takes the time to pick out the book of the month. It's just real special for all of our Real Radio listeners, and especially this book right around Easter time. We're glad to have you along, and we'd love you to join us in our book of the month. Just go to our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org, and look for the book of the month. This book of the month is a great one, Cries from the Cross, A Journey into the Heart of Jesus by Erwin Lutzer. At reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.